Welcome to the Sacred Sisterhood Podcast. I'm your host, Shani Lim, an internationally certified tantric practitioner. This is where you are going to discover all things love, sex, and relationships through powerful tantric and holistic teachings where you can bring awakening into the body. Come on this journey to release, open, and step into your true essence as a woman. Hello, beautiful ladies. Welcome to another episode. I'm super excited to share Elizabeth Makepeace from the Ascendance Code here with me today. And I'm so excited to share her story and her love story. From what she's told me, it's almost like out of a movie, which is every woman's absolute dream. So how are you, Elizabeth? And thank you so much for coming on. We are so excited to hear all about you.
I'm looking forward to sharing too, Shani. I'm doing really well.
Amazing. So tell us a little bit about what you do and how you help women in your business, in the Ascendance Code. What is it that you actually provide your services to the world?
So I've been a healer for 25 years. Actually, I'm thinking that it's maybe about 28 now because I've been saying it for a while. Yeah. I just can read energy really well. So I'm an intuitive empath. And it's something that I've done, you know, 7 years of past life regression training. That was when I first woke up spiritually. And then just through my own personal journey of understanding energy and then working with alchemy and really starting to download the information from past lives, you know, high priestess energy, wisdom, all of the things that I've experienced multidimensionally, all of those things is what I incorporate into the work that I do. So I also do a process called recoding, and I work with, so I've learned the secrets of alchemy and a process called recoding. So I'm a magnetic mind coach as well.
Oh, wow. And what does that mean, magnetic mind coach? Can you give us an idea of what it is exactly that you're doing? And yeah.
So we get stuck in our limitations. Yeah. I mean, it's just totally natural because that's what we're here for. We're here to see ourselves as separate and individual, and we come down to earth as a, you know, as a spirit that's wanting to experience. We go into this physical body, and then we start being conditioned and programmed just by the world to live a certain way. You know, we have to belong to our tribe. And so from 0 to 3, we start absorbing absolutely everything. And by about 7, we're really programmed and influenced by what's going on around us. And we sort of forget that we were just here to experience and have fun.
So
all of those things that are programmed into us, and we're in the same sort of brainwave frequency as being hypnotized. So depending on what your childhood was like, you will have got things that will limit you, like I don't belong, or I'm not good enough, or I'm not worthy. Mm. So what I do is
the stories that we tell ourselves.
And so what I do is I support women mainly. I do work with some men, but I help women to recognize what it is that their magic is.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, yeah. Makes me feel so good.
And then what we do with recoding is, so we sort of combine alchemy with recoding. And what recoding is we go up to the field higher self, what I call superconscious, where all the codes of creations are in the first place, the ones that you've pulled down from your family, the ones that are from past lives, the ones from your own conditioning as a child, and we neutralize them, that the ones that no longer serve you, so the ones that, you know, think that you're not worthy or whatever it might be for you, insignificant, blah, 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 that make you feel unsafe, and we neutralize them and then allow the codes of your magnificence and your magic to come in. So,
do it on like an energetic level, yeah?
Yes.
So it's like we have those thoughts and whatever else it is there, and then you're able to go higher above to be able to stop those thoughts, right, essentially.
Yeah. Well, access them and then upgrade them. Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. That sounds fit. That sounds awesome. Sounds like something I need.
It's we get so caught up in our limitation, right? We think that this is who we are.
And like past experiences in our childhood, like our wounds, like abandonment wounds, and that's huge for kids. I think a lot of people suffer with abandonment. Abandonment wounds, or being like completely dismissed as a child, you know, not validated, all of those kinds of things. And then it really, really stops us from being able to have a great relationship with ourselves as well as a great relationship with like other people, right? Like our lovers.
Absolutely. And also repels our true lover, because when you're a vibrational match to your soul partner, your divine partner, that's when you just draw them in, which is what happened to me, right? But before that, I was repelling that energy because I was attracting the energy of narcissistic behavior and wounding. My dad was on a kidney machine when I was growing up, so he was on dialysis. Wow. So I grew up looking after him. So therefore, I then put it in as a belief that I have to heal my men.
Oh, so, right.
So, yeah. So the first couple of relationships.
You were always the one holding the space for them to be able to work on their wounds. And here's poor you who's like, oh, I need that support too.
When's my knight in shining armor coming along sweep me off my feet, right?
Well, he eventually turned out, thank
he Lord. Did yes yeah
and I assume that happened as well after you've obviously done this work on yourself, which has allowed you to be able to now attract your divine partner into your life. Yes.
So stripping away all of that, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Labyrinth with David Bowie in it.
Yes, I have.
You know that there's this part in the movie, right? So Sarah and her little brother Toby, right? So Toby's been taken from the Goblin King, right? And so Sarah is on a quest to go and get her brother. And she's nearly there, right? She's so close, and the Goblin King can see that everyone's been helping her. So he gets really annoyed, and he puts her back into her room with amnesia. She's forgotten who she was, what her quest was. And so she's like, there's something I'm supposed to be doing, you know, like there's something I'm supposed to be doing. Well, this old garbage lady, bag lady comes in. Do you remember with the
– I do remember this.
Yeah, she's got all this stuff on her. And she's saying, hey, remember this teddy and remember this, you know, doll? And next thing, she's putting all of this memories on Sarah. So Sarah's now carrying all this heaviness. And you see that that's what's happened with the bag lady. She's got so much junk on her from old past traumas and stories that she's forgotten who she is. So it's like that, you know, like when we've got all of that stuff, then we can't open up and go, oh, that's right, I was on a quest to become, you know, this magical being and have this amazing experience. Yeah.
It definitely makes so much sense. And I definitely hear the analogy in it too, with like just holding all of our baggage from childhood. And fit, like you said, to the age of seven, then we're essentially conditioned. And then from there, it's like we then carry that for the rest of our life unless we look at it and hire somebody like yourself to help us get through all those limiting stories. Oh, yeah. Gosh, it sounds so fantastic. So I also want to know, tell me about your love story. Like, we've kind of gone there, but how did you get past all of these limiting beliefs that you had, obviously using your methods as well, to be able to manifest this beautiful man in your life?
Sometimes things happen in strange ways, you know. People think, you know, when you're on a spiritual quest or a spiritual journey, and I've been there for a long time, so I've watched the industry, if you want to call it the industry or the movement, go through this evolution. And I know that there's been times when there was, you know, everything's love and light and you don't even think or look or speak about negativity, right? But really, when you're on a spiritual journey, shit happens.
Oh, yeah. So, I feel like it's all the time for me. I feel like I'm always going through something.
Something, yeah. And that can be a belief too, right? Yeah, because you think that you've got to constantly, and that's, I can park that and we can talk about that if you want, because
fantastic.
We can get into this loop where the healer thinks that it has to keep healing. So you're in a healer. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting because it's like everything in my life has always been challenging. And then I look at my astrological chart and then it's like, you got Scorpio in three houses in the eighth house. So you're always transitioning and everything's like, you're always going through all of this back and forth kind of, you know, transformational things. I'm just like, no, it's so exhausting.
And that's really important too, right, where we go into the space of thinking, well, it's in my chart, so it must be real and it must be something I'm going to go through all my life, and it actually isn't. You're
so
here
amazing.
So you're here to have a journey and, you know, be the heroine in your journey.
Yes.
You can transcend all of those things, even the stuff that's written in the stars, right? Like, you can transcend it all. But so what happened for me, I was living up in Far North Queensland in the beautiful rainforest of Atherton.
What a dream.
Yeah. And a long story short, I ended up having to move to Sydney to look after my mum. Not something I was expecting. I lived in the rainforest and moved to the suburbs of Sydney. So it was like, I'm not really having, this is not fun.
And Sydney's so busy. I don't like Sydney at all.
it really took me 3 years of shock to get over the fact that I had moved. I then sort of went into this space of looking after mom and did my hard yards and healed the mother wound, you know, the energy between us.
Yeah.
And through that process, my mom ended up having a heart attack and is now in a nursing home. And so I get to this point where I'm like, oh, what am I going to do now? I don't want to stay in Sydney, but I still need to be close enough to her. So I'd gone on a date with a guy that was living down south from Sydney, and as I went past, you know, driving to his house, I saw these rolling hills and this beautiful oceans and beaches, and I'm just like, this is like my rainforest up in Far North Queensland without the heat, right?
Yeah.
So long story short, I ended up coming down and moving down to Shoal Harbour, which is an hour and a half down south from Sydney. I work online, so I tend to be a bit of a hermit, and I'm, you know, at home doing my thing. And I'd moved in COVID, so I wasn't, you know, I hadn't come and socialized with anyone or didn't know anyone, but I lived right next to the beach. And so one day I'd been doing this training that was like nearly 12 hours long. I was like, I'm exhausted. I just want to go and have dinner and go to bed. But there was something that just sort of went, you know what, I'm just going to go down and get my feet wet in the ocean and then I'll make dinner. So it's like 5:30, 6 o'clock at night. It was still light. And I went down to the beach and I was the only one there. And so I go to the beach, the waves are huge, and I'm like, oh, I've got to take a, you know, do a Facebook Live at these waves. So I'm on Facebook showing everyone these waves. And this guy walks past and he waves. Now, when I'm doing a Facebook Live, I never wave or acknowledge anyone. I'm very present to what I'm doing. But you see me wave back, right? So from his end, he kept on going. He said he got halfway down the beach and he stopped and turned around and went, who is that? Like, I need to meet her. So he kept on going. Yeah, he kept on going. He got to the end of the beach and he was actually heading home. And he said something kept on saying, just go back and say hello.
Oh, wow.
So he turned around.
So beautiful.
He walked back. I was off Facebook. And he walked back. And as he walked past, I said, aren't the waves huge? So we started chatting. We went for a walk together. And then we discovered that we both love sunsets and sunrises and taking photos. And he told me about all these beautiful waterfalls that are around. And, we found out later that we lived in adjacent streets. Now, one of the things about my magic is I also set intentions. And I had set the intention that when I meet my man, he's going to smack me over the head. I'm not going to miss him. You know, something's going to happen so that I know that it's him.
Yeah, I love that.
Aww. Yeah. So I'm a healer. I have been for a long time. My maiden name is Payne, P-A-Y-N-E.
I remember you telling me.
Yeah. So his last name is Makepeace. So pain to make peace, right? Like, if the universe hasn't got a humor to it, I don't know. Like, it's just crazy.
I think it does.
Yeah. I've actually got a thing with houses, cars, and like I moved from Oleander Street to Oleander Drive. I've got stories and stories and stories like that where the universe has just lined things up. I call it following the white rabbit. And so it's like this just following threads of where my journey is taking me. And, here's this beautiful Tim. And we just fell in love and it's been this amazing journey ever since, except for I was going to tell you that story. I'll tell you the story in a minute about something that happened through this process of past life, right? So
did you tap into past life of him and you, or what was this story?
We've had a few past lives together, and
beautiful.
What happened was when I met him and finally said yes, because I was a bit like, our connection was so powerful that I was a bit like repelling him to start with. It was a bit too intense.
Yeah.
But I finally said yes. And, and, you know, realized how deeply I cared for him. And we moved in together and, you know, started living together. And my business sort of went on pause. And I'm like, this is really weird. What's going on? And a few little things that I hadn't noticed, you know, when Tim first met me, I very sensual, loved dancing, you know, put music on in the house and cork and a couple of times when we were together, he was like, "Oh, I've noticed that you're not dancing and you know, putting music on as much." I'm like, I only do it when I feel like it. You know, I just sort of didn't pick it up. Anyway, yeah. we just discovered a past life where I was a high priestess and he was in a magician cult sort of energy, sect energy, that were working with the dark arts.
Oh, wow.
And so he was one of them that was told to come and take my power away from me, and we fell in love.
Oh, wow.
So he rejected his you know, sect at the little group, and I let go of my power for us to come together. So as soon as we cleared that, everything changed. I felt the energy again of my magic. I then, you know, I've been dancing and, you know, being more in my sensual energy again. I feel like I'm back in my wholeness. So it's amazing
has a massive impact on us, and like all of these like layers, there's just so many layers that also affect our current reality that we're so unaware of, right?
Absolutely.
So how did you get into doing this kind of work?
The energy work?
Yeah.
It's not something I was looking for. I was I'm a Virgo, if you're going to talk astrology. So I've got this real grounded part of me, you know.
Yeah. Like
I'm just very practical. And my dad died when I was 15, and I think that's when it sort of started. I had this feeling that he was going to die when I was young, and when he died, I then went, what is there? There's something. I was like, I felt like he was in a library somewhere. And so I started, you know, tuning in and like asking those questions. But then also I was grieving for like 10 years. 10 years wow. of, yeah, really, I started hanging out and being with a guy from school. And we just went downhill, very dysfunctional relationship. He became an alcoholic. I was on drugs. We were both on drugs.
Wow.
And then at the end of that, we had kids. And that's when I went, I need to stop this behavior, you know, and I need to change. I'm my mum now. And
kids can be so transformational like that. That's what happened to me as well. When I had my daughter, I was like, oh, my God. It's like something and you just shift and it's like, I can't live like this anymore.
That's right. Yeah. To the influence of another soul in your life that you're responsible for makes a big difference, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I moved up to Far North Queensland and, just one day, like this friend of mine was just hassling me to go and see this psychic, and I didn't believe in psychics. So it's like, you need to see this woman. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. You'll get to speak to your dad. And so, you know, I doubted, but I ended up going because she wouldn't shut up. So I just went to this woman and, I walked in and the woman's like, what are you doing here? You obviously, you know, you can do what I do, but obviously you don't know it. And I actually experienced my dad touching my face. So the first time I've, you know, had, energy, like a spirit touch me. Yeah.
Wow.
And I went home and I had like 3 days of all of these different energies touching me and You know, I'd turn around, no one's there. So I went back, you know, I rang her up, like, what's going on? Like, can I come back?
Yeah.
And she's like, they're just happy that you've all, you know, you've woken up and it'll calm down soon, but no, you can't come back. And so I went on this journey for, like, by myself with no one to guide me. And long story short, within a couple of months, maybe, I think it was maybe 3-4 months, I went to a workshop and the woman was doing past life regression, and I ended up being like her apprentice in a way, and did 7 years of past life regression training, very, very intense, wow. every weekend pretty much. And really stripped a lot of the stuff that was going on from previous lives, and then, you know, working in galactic or cosmic, you know, planets and all sorts of crazy stuff that we were doing back then.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was the start of my journey. And then, you know, I left that group after 7 years and really started taking ownership of my own, my own magic, and sharing with women how to own theirs.
Oh, I love that. That's such a beautiful story, because it's so empowering to go from such a situation that you were in before having kids and then recognizing that was like your awakening, and then going, I need to, you know, these things need to happen. That's so, what, how divine. That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I love it. It's magic, and it's nice to hear, and empowering to hear that we all have something about us. And I find women are really, I think a lot of women are actually disconnected from our abilities, because I think a lot of us do have those abilities to be able to tap into the divine and that energy and feeling, and it can come from a physical sense too. Like in Tantra, I help people open the heart and the womb, and, you know, and the feeling and the sensations, to trust in the body and trust in yourself and your own intuition, because the body can tell you so much. And
well, we store so much in the body, right? Which exactly. is the work, you know, the importance of the work that you're doing, because our nervous system is holding on to like energy that then, you know, creates all these neural pathways, and so we're holding, and, you know, so many women, our womb is just, you know, I actually had an experience just recently where I did some womb activation, and all my past experiences have already been cleared, right? But as I was going through it and I went to the future, this hand comes out and smashes into the back of my daughter, and all this black energy comes out of her womb. So my future.
So you clearing yours is clear, yes. your daughter's womb and yes. her, all her things. It sounds so much like the ayahuasca ceremonies that you do. Like, yeah, you do without the medicine.
Yeah. I have never.
So magical.
I'd love to experience it one day, but I want to know that I'm doing it for the right reason, and it hasn't ever come across, you know, like higher self hasn't thrown it in my lap yet, you know. So
it honestly doesn't sound like really something that you need to be able to need to do at all, because you're already tapped into all of that energy anyway, you know.
Yeah.
What is it like I'm trying to envision, you know, your connection, and you're saying you're reading the Akashic records, and do you like meditate to be able to do that and really connect with that realm? And do you see it and feel, or is it a feeling? Like, I kind of want to understand a little bit.
It's really interesting, because my, you know, just talking about things we hold in the body, I grew up, as I said, my dad was on a kidney machine, but because of that, my mum had to work So I didn't really know my mum, and I was left, you know, I was a daughter after three boys, and so I was left to my own devices to sort of understand being a woman, right?
Yeah, yep.
And through that, one of my biggest dysfunctional beliefs is that I'm not capable, because, you know, I was constantly being told, no, you didn't see that, or you didn't experience that. This is what you saw. And, you know, so I was drilled in to this energy of what you are experiencing in your body, in your spirit, is not right. And so constantly being influenced to look outside of myself.
Yeah. And so, okay.
To get back into that, I then had this thing of, you know, well, you've got to meditate, you've got to do it this way, you've got to do it that way, right? And so I'd go through this thing only to discover months and months later that actually I do it naturally, and that what I'm, you know, I'm trying to fit in. I once, when I was living up in Far North Queensland, I had this beautiful woman that had come over from America with her husband, who was a professor and he was working at the university. And she was a shaman. So she found me. She was found me working at a chemical-free hair and beauty salon. I just had a massage room in there. We became friends, and, you know, we started working together and doing some courses and stuff. And I remember once we used to, you know, you'd find something in her or she'd find something in me, and we'd work on each other. And we were in my kitchen, and she says to me, "Oh, such and such, I can see this in your field, right?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I see it." And she goes, "How did you do that?" And I went, "What?" She says, "I just pointed it out, and now you've been able to move it and shift it." And I said, "Because you pointed it out, I was able to pinpoint it, you know?" And she goes, "Well," she said, "I have to call in the directions and create a medicine wheel and do mantras and all this stuff." And she said, "And you just go bang and there it is, right?" And she said, "When you can," because I couldn't work out how I did it. Like, I just like,
yeah, okay.
Well, you told me, yeah, that was a long time ago. So now I just know that I can tap into the field, and it's just something I can do, right? So
do you see it in your mind's eye, or is it like?
The visual for me is not like, I have a quick, for example, that thing with my daughter, I saw the hand come out and it was just quick, instant, like, moment and visual.
Mm-hmm.
My way of seeing it is the reading it. It is a knowing. I just have this knowing.
All right.
So I have visuals every so often just to support me in the following the threads, what I call energetic threads. But mainly it's a knowing, because I can pick up such subtle energies. And this is like 28 years of work, right? Like, you know, you sort of become a bit of
a master at it. Trust in yourself to trust that energy, because if you can't see it, it's not tangible, you know, and it is something that you have developed to really trust in your own abilities. That's so beautiful.
Can I share a story, because I think it's important for your listeners? It's when, and this is part of owning your magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was one stage I'd left the father of my kids, and I was doing it tough. I was by myself, single mum, doing my thing. And I started having like this Clayton's relationship, right? One, like, he was here and I was having fun with him, and then he'd go back to his place. And, you know, so we sort of were in this relationship that wasn't completely serious. But I was doing it tough. And my mum was sending me money. This is years and years ago. She was sending me money in the post every so often. You know, you're not supposed to send money, right? So she'd send me money with a letter or whatever. And sometimes I'd get it and sometimes I wouldn't, right?
Hmm.
And I said something to this guy. I'm like, you know, sometimes I get this, you know, did you see a letter from me from mum, blah, blah, blah? No. Maybe it was the kids across the road, because I was in a bit of a rough area. There was a pub on the corner. And so anyway, it happened a couple of times, but nothing enough for me to jump hold, you know, to really take hold of.
Yeah.
Then I moved and I was doing a course. I wanted to do a course to become an infant massage instructor. So I had this glass jar on top of my fridge and I was putting money in to pay for the course and to, you know, get the flights down to Brisbane and all the things, right?
Yeah.
Me being me, didn't have any idea how much money was in this jar. I just put money in whenever I had cash, you know, like, and I'd put money in.
Yeah.
So this one day he was looking after my kids. I was running late to pick him up. He needed to go home and he didn't have a car. So he needed to go home and he was going to a flight the next day to Sydney. So I race into the house. I'm like, sorry, I'm late. Can everyone jump in the car? I'm just going to go to the loo, grab some water. And so I went to the loo. Everyone goes in the car. I get to the kitchen. And I look up at the jar and I just know that he's taken money out of that jar. I could feel it.
Horrible.
There was no way that I could, there was no evidence, there was nothing that I could physically say that he had taken it. So I get in the car and I'm driving and I ask him about it. Well, the half an hour drive, he spent the whole time gaslighting me. How do you think that I could do something like that to a single mom? I love you. Who do you think I am? You know, like, I can't believe you think so badly of me, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I drop him off. Yep. I drive home and I have this moment where I went, you know, I've had this feeling before, and if I don't listen to it, then like, I've got to listen to my intuition. I've just got to listen. Even if it's wrong, I've got to listen.
Yeah.
Yep. So I rang him up and I said, you know, I told him that I've just got to listen. I'm so sorry, but we've got to stop seeing each other, blah, 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 blah. And again, on and on and on he went about how could I think of this, him so low, blah, blah, blah. Well, a week later, he's in Sydney and I get a letter in the mail and he's written me a letter saying, I don't know how you worked it out, but I did take that money and I'm so sorry. And, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I just, that was a turning point for me.
Into like trusting in yourself?
Yes. I'm never going to stop that again. Yeah,
I've recently just gone through like something very similar where I was like denying what I was feeling. And then this person was telling me other things and then I still didn't feel good about it. But I was like, oh, it's all me. It's my trust issues. You know, I'd have trust issues and I'm just not trusting you enough. And then trying to just trust this person and then later finding out that they were lying to my face and I was denying what I was feeling the whole time, thinking it was just a trust issue because that's what I was being told.
Yes.
And because I was doing I do a lot of work in like the relationship side of stuff, I look at like communication and these kinds of things and how important it is for men and women to like we communicate differently and how we should communicate out of trust in trusting our men. And yeah, it's so interesting to go through an experience like that in not really trusting in my own abilities and it coming out the other side of, oh wow, it was something that I should have just listened to, you know.
Yeah, because we second guess, right?
Yeah. And so that was an experience, like how you went through, that was an experience for me to go, wow, Shani, like you really need to learn to trust what your gut is telling you. If I'm too fixated on something, there's something wrong there. Like I get really like fixated on their like not feeling good about something, and I need to trust that.
On top of that, so we've been conditioned from childhood, yeah. And not bad, like it's not we're putting anyone down and saying, you know, they've done a bad thing to us. It's just the way we've developed as humans, right? When you're growing up and, you know, you're saying, Mum, can I go down the shop? And she says no, but you keep hassling. She finally says yes.
Yeah. Right?
Those things are just minute, like, oh, let's get, you know, that kid's annoying me, I'll just say yes, right?
But yes.
That's then we don't trust what a no is. We don't trust to, you know, like to respect what a no or a yes is the first time. We learn how to be coercive and manipulative and chuck a tantrum and we'll get what we want or whatever it might be,
I've been through that experience with the kids.
Yeah, so just daily, everyday, normal behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got on top of that past lives.
Yeah.
That we didn't trust our gut instinct because we were burnt at the stake for it, or we were drowned, or we were persecuted in some way because we listened to our intuition. And so we had to hide that from ourselves as well. You know, it's not safe to listen. And so through these experiences, we are just naturally channeled into listen to external sources first before you listen to yourself.
Yeah. Yep. I definitely feel that. It's been a very massive like wake up call for me personally, to trust in that and not, like you said, trust in these external things. And to really just follow like, oh, if somebody is hiding something, I genuinely feel that person's hiding something. Well, they are, you know? Yeah. So how could a woman learn to trust in her intuition, do you think?
There's so many layers to that.
Something first simple that they could probably just, you know, start to do today, if listening in on this, like if they're like, yeah. Oh, intuition.
Yes.
Is there just one little thing that I can do to connect, to really just learn to trust in my intuition?
I would say the simplest and basic thing to start with, foundational stuff, is to pause. And one of the things that I share with my, you know, community, my audience, is one, it's okay to pause because we often, you know, forget and we think that we've got to respond to something straight away. But when we pause and we just take a nice deep breath in through our nose and out through our mouth, right? So just, yeah.
Yep.
We're giving ourselves that little tiny moment to relax our body.
Mm, yeah.
And through that, we then are more aligned with our body. We're in our body, because when we're in anxiety, we're sort of half in, half out. So we can't really hear our intuition because our body and our intuition are, you know, separated from each other. So just taking that moment to do that, what I call breath one, right, where we just breathe in, breathe out, that's giving you that time to sink back into your body, to listen to that little nudge that's coming, you know, that little moment to hear. Now, you may hear, you know, experience your intuition through knowing. You may experience it through, you know, auditory. You might actually hear something. You might actually have a visual. You might just have a gut feeling. You know, there's all these different ways. Allow yourself to not be wrong and listen, like I did with that glass jar, even when you think, like, and this is actually crucial to tell you the truth. Even if you think that that means that you're going to be rejected by everyone, you're going to be completely wrong, you're going to be alone, you know, or you think of the worst scenario ever.
Yeah.
Even if that's the case, you listen to what you think is right first.
Yeah.
When you can get past that, what if this happens, and just step into the worst case scenario and allow that to be present, maybe that's when you letting really go start of the listening.
Fear.
Yes.
So letting go of the fear of all of those, of the unknown, from the feeling that you're actually getting. Yeah. I feel
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Definitely. Do you think a lot of women get gaslit a lot?
Yeah, I do. Because, you know, I think a lot of women even, you know, gaslight themselves. You know, like we've been so conditioned, you know.
And that's just because we're so disconnected from our body, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And society in a as a whole, we are so conditioned not to listen to our internal knowing. And so, you know, as soon as, you know, I do a process called the three powers, power, powerless, and empowerment. So power and powerless is here in duality, right? When someone's powering over you, they're taking energy from you, and that can be even just with a belief. You can have a belief. Okay. For example, your belief that you're always having to process something, right?
Yeah.
that little tiny belief, right, which is energy in its purest form, then can pull you off your journey because your unconscious and your conscious are looking for something to always be working on.
Yeah. I hear that. Would love to get rid of that.
Yeah. So it's
just it's liberating, really, isn't it? Because it's like, oh, I can liberate myself from that. Thank God that even the stars aren't correct about me.
Yeah, that's right, isn't it?
Some control here, you know?
Yes.
And
yes.
That I can change what I'm going through, and that I can have the ability to have what I want and what I desire in my life, and that these things are just only limiting.
And this is about unplugging from the matrix, right? The matrix is all about there's something outside of us that is like, it's the illusion that we are not powerful beings.
Yeah.
So every time you look outside of yourself, a belief, an experience, a person, you know, a circumstance, as soon as you start giving that power, then you're plugged back into the matrix.
Ah, did you hear that? The matrix. You got to unplug yourself. I also want to ask you another question, which relates back to that experience that you had with that man from your previous relationship, relationship years ago. Do you feel that as a mother myself and single mom, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of single moms on here too, I'm so paranoid to introduce people into my kids' lives because I don't want them to think that that's an okay kind of like relationship, just to go in and out kind of thing. So do you feel like that can have effect on kids and what they believe a healthy relationship looks like when they grow up? Because I know that in my experience that is the truth, which is why I don't want to do something like that. But how do you feel in your experience?
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Hey, I'm a bit of a traditionalist. And, you know, we've all got our own versions, right? So first of all, I want to premise that everyone has their own experience and everyone, you know, free will to be whoever you want to be, right?
Yeah.
But seeing you're asking me, I grew up in a family where my mum and dad, you could tell that they just should not have been together, but they stayed together for the kids. And because of that, the relationships that I've been in, I was the first to leave. I was like, yep, this I'm done. See ya. You know, like it's not working. Mm. And I've only been in, you know, before meeting Tim, I'd had two major relationships and then that one that was sort of I call it a Clayton's relationship. We were sort of dating in and out, like, you know, for 3 years, but sort of not really serious.
Yeah.
What I have chosen is that until I know the ins and outs to a certain degree, because I don't think you can all ever know someone to the depths. Yeah. But until I had a commitment to be present and to really give a relationship its full run, I didn't introduce my kids to any of my, you know, potential partners, because I wanted to work it out myself. You know, when you're first in a relationship, all your stuff's coming up. You know, you're trying to work out what their stuff is, because, you know, you go into this, you know, isn't it all beautiful love and rainbows, right? And then the real work sort of starts, and you get to see the warts and
that can take some time. I know that can take quite some time too for the things to really come to the surface. I think in my recent relationship, it took a good like maybe 9 to 12 months before a lot of stuff was coming to the surface.
Yeah.
But then, in my situation, it's like, oh, trust issues. And then it's like, oh, hold on a second. And then finding out later it's actually not my trust issue.
Yes.
Maybe I do have an element there, but it's a very interesting journey. But anyway.
Yeah. well, the thing is, right, the other part of that is if we're going to step out of the relationship and step into parenting, one of the things with my kids was that I've always been just completely transparent. So, you know, when I was going through whatever I was going through, I'd explain to them, this is, you know, I'm not sure if this is a relationship that's going to last, you know, like, and this is what's coming up for me. And this is, you know, what are you experiencing? You know, like with my second relationship, you know, it was 4 years.
Yeah.
And I discovered he was beautiful until we got married. And then full on Hitler narcissist. Like he was German. Wow. He just completely switched, like a switch went on. And and so, you know, we live in an imperfect world.
Yeah.
We cannot think that we're going to bring our children up without some sort of trauma. It's just impossible. it's actually the way it's designed, because you think about it, if you're going to go from to the heights of it from a spiritual point of view, they chose us as parents. And so they know the journey to a certain degree. I don't believe everything is completely black and white. You've got sort of like, you know, a rough idea of what your mission is or what you want to create in your life. And then, you know, there's twists and turns that are all by your choosing down here when you, you know, make the choices. But they knew that, you know, this is the journey, and then it's their journey too. So, you know, that's what we've got to remember, is my kids chose my, you know, their father and me knowing that we were going to separate and that I would finally start having my magic come back in.
Yeah. And
their journey is part of that as well. Like, are they finding their own magic? Are they rejecting their own? You know what I mean? So,
and do you help your kids do that too?
To a certain degree.
They're a bit older now. And
yes. Yeah. So my daughter's 30 and she's going through, you know, I see that the threads of genetic patterns, you know, that are similar. She's definitely a magical woman and she just hasn't owned it all yet. So
well, it's, hopefully it's just with beautiful. Your assistance and help one day she'll get there.
Well, there's a beautiful fine line between being a mother that guides them and allowing them to have their own journey at the same time.
Exactly. And making their own mistakes and then coming to those realizations for themselves.
Yeah.
I definitely hear you in that. I mean, my kids aren't that old, but I also do let them make their own mistake to be able to go, hey, you know, now I can guide you into looking at it in the right way.
Yes.
And okay, was that a good choice? You know, can we make better choices? What other choice could we have made in the moment? Do you need assistance or do you need help in that? Like, asking those valuable, like really valuable questions in those moments too.
Absolutely.
thank you so much for sharing that as well with me. I wanted to also ask you on your perception, what do you feel about like modern day relationships with like technology and this, what is your perception on what you see happening in modern day relationships? Like we're having a lot more people who are getting like divorced and, you know, all struggling to commit to, do you think people are monogamous too? And, we're having a lot more families separate and all of this kind of stuff. I'd love to hear your opinion on this.
I'm allowed to just go for it.
Go for it. knock everyone out the water.
I love patterns. I love seeing patterns. I love watching and observing them. And I've been watching, you know, the spiritual industry, as I was saying before.
Yeah.
But also just, you know, humans and consciousness, the collective consciousness, you know, and the way society has gone. And we have just been totally conditioned to be completely plugged into separation.
And I know.
It's just been ridiculous. And, you know, it's watching it over a long period of time, you know, it's very interesting just to observe. So, you know, way back, and you know, I might offend some people here, right? Because way back, you know, the 30s, 40s, 50s, women had no rights, right?
Yeah.
They, you know, but there was this role. Men had a role, women had a role, right?
Mm-hmm.
But women, not only could they not vote, not only, you know, did they not even have pockets, right? Because all the stuff that was important was given to the husband. But if their husband died, even their kids weren't, they didn't have any ownership of having their kids. Their kids were, you know, first given to his family, right? So there was a lot of reasons why the 60s and 70s happened and the burning of the bra and going for voting and all of those things happened.
Yeah, yep.
Because women needed to take their power back to start the process of owning their magic, their sensuality, their sexuality, all of those things, right?
Yeah, and I feel on that, just quickly, I feel like that I've seen this too and I see your view too, that like during that time it was a very controlling time for women and to suppress them in their own abilities and like I think it would have been a lot more toxic like in the behaviors that men were able to like cheat and do those kinds of things behind women.
It was all still happening.
I know, but we just had to sit there and go, okay, sure. Yeah. Like, you know, well, I've still got to be with this man.
Yeah. You can't get like, you know, you see it in the movies and some movies, right? Like you don't get divorced because they're cheating. It's just the way it is, right? You just shut up.
And so we've now been conditioned, I think, from a long period of time not to trust men because
yes.
of this.
Yes.
You know,
there's and to so many different layers.
That
yeah.
as well. To trust in a man to hold you and like not do those kinds of things is a long journey for women, I believe.
Yeah. Mm. So, yes, absolutely. So then, you know, the 60s and 70s happened and women started getting liberation. And through that liberation, they started getting some of their rights, right? And some of their power back. But what happened was, the next generation comes along and they go, oh, mum's fighting for her power, right? So they're brought up, the next generation of women are brought up to fight for their power. And then the next generation of women are brought up fighting for the power. But this generation has totally got no idea about why they were fighting in the first place. So now society and this insidious, you know, consciousness of technology and whatever it is that's holding us in this fear-based consciousness starts moving this into you have the right to be just as equal as a man is, right? And the interpretation of that and the definition of that is we now can do everything a man can do, right? So all of a sudden women are now still, you know, nurturing, loving, having children, wanting to be creative and cook and clean and serve. But we also now are, you know, let's work and be, you know, driven and powerful and have this thing.
Yes.
So women have got all of this load on top of them and the men are going, well, wait a minute, aren't we supposed to be racing outside and killing the beast for you? You know, like
exactly, the hunter-gatherer kind of thing.
Yeah, and they're like, where's our role? Oh, we are no longer kings, so where can we be a king? PlayStation, Xbox.
Yeah,
because
they're able to, like, win that way, right?
The battle's there. Yeah.
Wow.
So now they're focused here. Women are going, where the fuck are you? and we're totally overwhelmed because we've taken all this role on and we're being conditioned by society that if we go backwards and say, I want a man that's strong and wants to take me. I want a man that's just going to sweep me off my feet and I want to be a nurturing, sensual goddess.
I think a lot of women are desiring that now. Yeah. Of seeing this
it's slowly coming back, but before it wasn't. Not in my generation. My generation was that like you're in, you know, the dinosaur era. If you want to live and you cook and clean and look after children, you know, like
exactly. But how can we go from like it is a very funny era. Because we're also struggling as women to trust in the men too because of like all of these other like social media and things being so much more easier to like replace. You can just quickly replace a woman now.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I earn enough money. I can, you know, don't have to really be committed to her. I can also sit on social media and get my fulfillment, my dopamine hit and that kind of stuff off of social media. And I'm not really putting my energy because I'm really, really tapped. Like I believe in this wholeheartedly is where a man's energy goes is where his attention goes. And even if he's not like it, just looking like you're putting all of this energy, your attention is there. And
absolutely.
It's like you're giving that away and not giving it to the woman who you love, you supposedly love, and is at home and doing things for you and supporting you and loving you and committed to you, not sitting on social media looking at other half-naked men and that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm sure there's women out there that do that too, but their energy is also going into that. Do you know what I mean? So, and
absolutely.
I think it all comes down to a level of broken trust that's come from this whole lineage of generational trauma, essentially.
Absolutely. And I also just want to put into this that, like, not taking away and giving anyone excuses, right? But we also need to put into the mix of what we're talking about the fact that, you know, society is geared towards greed and consumerism. And so way back, you know, in that period of time when women were taking their power back, just before that, there was, you know, the whole where's your attention going into this, you know, half naked women or whatever. And the industry then went, well, how do we double our income and our profit? Well, let's start promoting to women. So if you notice in the 50s, it went from women wearing, you know, nice neat dresses to mini skirts and their, you know, their ads with them vacuuming the floor with their boobs sort of hanging out and mini skirts on. And so that then changed to, well, now we've doubled our income, how do we quadruple it, right? Let's start targeting the children. So next thing you've got cartoons with Jessica Rabbit and, you know, like all of these so luxurious women. And then you've got ads coming out and pamphlets in the letterbox with women in bikinis and, you know, bras and, you know, all the advertising.
So it became so sexualized.
Yeah. So our little boys and girls.
Visual as well.
So our little boys and girls. Again, as I was saying, 0 to 3, everything's like hypnosis. Yeah, so it's okay for little boys to see women like that and disrespect them, and it's okay for if you want to be loved, this is what you're supposed to look like as a little girl, right? And so now here we are as adults going, I want love and attention. The men are so conditioned to just get that dopamine hit, they don't even know what they're missing.
Yeah.
Because it's been brought up from little boys when they were, you know, pulling the pamphlets out of the letterbox and hiding them under their bed. You know?
And then, like, you've got the women on the other side now with, like, so many insecurities.
Yeah.
And, like, they're so insecure and they still go and get all of this stuff done to their bodies and their, and then they still think it's just about the visual aspect of themselves. And it's like, no, it's so,
so sad.
So much more than that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay. Like, you need to look after yourself as a woman and, like, you know, but I think a lot of that stems from your sensuality, your feminine energy. And
absolutely.
It doesn't come from this just how I look like a plastic doll. It's like you are so much more than that, you know.
And absolutely,
it's the, as you said, it's like this conditioning. We believe that that is how we're going to be loved. We are going to get love and attention and what we want and devotion and all of that and the commitment if we just do that. And it's so far from the truth. And I'm part of like a group of women who, I think it's like a doll me up or something like that on Facebook. And the amount of women who I just look at who post on there who are beautiful women and they still go, please help me. I don't know what's wrong. I don't feel good about myself. And I'm thinking like, wow. Are you fucking serious? Like, you are gorgeous.
Yeah.
Still so insecure.
Yes.
I can't believe it. Like, it's something like I'm just like gobsmacked.
Yeah.
That. And, oh, wow. And it can be driven from men too, I think, as well, by going out and making women feel insecure because they're like looking and liking and doing all that, and now we get to see all of the men that we're with doing those things,
but
it makes us feel even more secure because we're like, oh, I have to look like that because that's something he's attracted to. And why can he not devote that energy and attraction to me? Am I not good enough now? And then it's like that cycle that just consistently goes round and round and round, and then it's both sides kind of having this problem going on.
And then on top of that, you've got commercial TV, radio, music, you know, like magazines, exactly. All just confirming that and validating that. Yeah.
So this is like essentially the time right now that we need to be so conscious and so aware of our energy and where it's being directed and,
well, it's happening,
and honored and respected. And I talk about this a lot. I talk about it all over social media. I'm like, even me, to the degree of what I had to go through growing up and the level of what I didn't respect or honor myself or my body, my mind, my soul, all my energy, and thought, got caught in the same trap as well, of just sleeping with all these different men, thinking, oh, if I sleep with them, they're just gonna love me. And it's like, well, actually, that's so far from the truth.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the thing, where we're at the moment is this real awakening to the feminine energy. Like, women are really starting to reclaim, or even start, you know, just delving into their goddess energy and starting to take it back and respect themselves first, that they then go, sorry, you can't even come near me because I feel how repulsive you are with your thoughts, right?
Felt that in the past. I had a man try to hit on me, and I was just like, because of obviously doing all the tantra, I'm very tapped into like sexual energy. And I was like, okay, I really don't want your energy in me.
Anywhere
like,
near
I
me.
Can't. You've got some real weird shit going on up here, and whoever you've also been attached to, I can feel your energy. No, thanks. I don't want that in me or on me or.
Like, and that's the thing, because the more women that wake up to their power, the more men are going to go, wait a minute, where are we? Like, they're going to have to come on board. They're going to have to.
I've been seeing like the separate side to this as well, where women are like, no, I want a 10. And she's like, fat. I'm really sorry, but she will be very fat. It's like, I want a 10 and he needs to be making this and that and that. And it's like, whoa, hold on. You've got your expectations.
But you know why? This is because we have been conditioned to think like men too. This is all the, you know, from the 70s and 80s and women's power, and we can do it too. So now we're all, like, society in general is in their masculine energy of do, think.
And in the mind.
Yeah,
so driven in the mind, and to think like I've just got to be in my head all the time.
I hear
that. But I definitely have seen a lot of this over like social media and some just really rude women. And it's just because they're so disconnected from their femininity, you know, and it's just like you said, in that masculine energy. And men aren't attracted to that.
Well, feminine men can be like, yes, men that are quite weak, you know, like, and it doesn't have to. We've got male and female. Like, sorry, we've got masculine and feminine
energy
in all of us, and so, you know, opposites attract. So, you know, a masculine dominating female will attract a masculine. Or a female partner. Man, you know, someone that's going to be submissive. So,
and do you think they're ever really that happy though? You know,
I have seen people in that situation that have,
who are just really happy in it.
Whether I would say they're happy like in themselves, I don't know. Because, you know, there are women out there that have more testosterone, more, you know, masculine traits just naturally in them.
I've had tests done and I have a higher level of testosterone in my body.
Yeah.
But that can also be, I believe, changed because you step more into your feminine energy.
Yes.
You step into your feminine energy, you get supplements that support your system, and you don't overdo certain things because how do we know that being in our masculine energy isn't just triggering more testosterone in our body?
Well, yeah, that's right. And it's all a condition of, you know, that's another rabbit hole we could go down, right? Because the food industry and the, you know, like the pill perfumes and all of the things.
And the pills and all of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so when, you know, we aren't a natural body anymore, we've got a lot of toxins in our body. And so, you know, our hormones are all out of whack regardless. So what is natural these days? You know, it's a challenging topic to go down, you know.
It's such a challenging time, I think, for a lot of men and women to go through this massive transition of rejecting what we are being pressured to be and to do, and as a man or a woman, and it's so confusing.
Yeah.
It's so confusing to everybody. It's like, and now you've got on top as well all of the women and men as kids transgender, and now like transforming into these. It's like it's so confusing and so much.
It's meant to be. It's meant to be confusing, as in it's the way society has evolved, you know. And I think that, you know, I do a lot of work with, you know, quantum physics, and, you know, I love the science behind things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so when we're in one pattern, to move into a different pattern, there's chaos in between. Mm-hmm. And so we're just in the chaos as we change from one level of consciousness into another level. And so we've done, you know, the hierarchy where men are in control. And way back in history, in the ancient times, that, you know, women were in control. It's now letting the pendulum come back into swing so that we've got this unity, you know, between, you know, equality means that you're in your essence of who you are, and no one, you know, makes any comparisons against other people depending on who, like, what your values and morals are, you know, like you're equally.
So it's expressed an individual. And respected.
Yeah.
It's an individual kind of thing then.
Yeah.
You know, because. Then does that really mean we're monogamous? No.
Well, this is a very interesting thing, right?
Individual thing.
Because, you know, if you think of us as spirits and souls, we're here to evolve. We're here to experience. And so that whole thing of one male, one female for the rest of their life is actually, again, a condition. Because if a soul's journey is to evolve, and you're, just say you and I become friends, right?
Yeah.
And through that friendship, I'm learning more about who I am, and you're learning more about who you are. And we get to this point where actually I've done what I need to in my relationship with you.
Yeah.
Because I've learnt the lessons of how to become empowered or whatever, whatever it might be, then the natural progression of that is you go, hey, like I'm feeling like, you know, I'm not thinking of you as much, you know, like, and you're like, yeah, I'm the same. You know, this is in a beautiful setting. You'd go, well, let's just chill and see what happens, and off we go and explore something else. So that's the same between male and female as well. Relationships are supposed to evolve. And if they're holding one person back, it's holding them back from their evolutionary process.
Yeah, exactly. So essentially we may not be monogamous.
No, no. But then there might be two souls that decide that they're going to grow and evolve together.
Yeah, well, you know, that's something that I dream of.
And so, I am traditional as well, you know, like as
in I am
my
too.
Whole thing is, one partner. But if, you know, if that partner then eventually starts holding me back, my spiritual development is my first priority.
Yeah, Yep. I hear you in that.
Yeah.
Mm. So what do you think then, like, if that's the case, do you think that may be the reason why we are having so many separations and divorces and things like that too happening nowadays?
Do you think
women and men are evolving at different rates?
Potentially, but, you know, I do also think that it's hard to pull data from something that's in chaos.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
I think that the world is in, you know, a state of trauma. It's coming to the end of the way we have been living, and we need to find a new way. And that new way is definitely coming to a place of spiritual awakening, spiritual awareness, coming to a place of recognizing ourselves as sovereign beings and not needing external sources to rule and govern us. And so while we're in this sticky, messy middle, it's hard to say, you know, is it because, you know, women are starting to take their power back, or is it that they're still in their dysfunction and they just can't handle the dysfunction of their partner anymore, you know? And so, you know, or the other way around, you know, there's just so many variables in this chaos that we're in at the moment that it's so challenging to work out why. Why is there so many divorces, you know?
Yeah, I get what you are. I think we're all trying to just pinpoint it, you know. And like you said, it's an individual thing. And like, it's like, for me, it's like the traditional sense, and that I do want to be with somebody that will grow with me, you know, and be committed with me and take the accountability and recognition that they are going, that they to have their wounds and stuff that they need to work on. And okay, like the toxic behaviors that, you know, men have, not toxic behaviors, but the behaviors that men actually have to deal with at the moment, you know, with the objectifying women. And that's tough.
And also being completely distracted by all the overwhelm that they're going through, and not having the libido to feel like they're also full of chemicals and losing their testosterone, and they're like their warrior
energy.
At early
ages now, at early ages, I hear it's like starting in the early 30s, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And a lot of men too are supplementing their testosterone as well.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Well, we've been brought up that, you know, like here's a pill, right? Like that's another conditioning.
Yes.
Everything is like, you know, we can supplement. Yeah, if you've got a problem, here's a pill to fix it, or a needle or whatever, you know. We've got medication for you. So it's another condition of society, you know. And I think the more women can really start taking their power back and saying, no, this is not the behavior that I'm interested in and I'm not going to tolerate it, the more men are going to have to start waking up and going, okay, something's got to give and we got to change. But it's the women that are going to make the difference. We are the ones that are going to take ownership of our magic again and to really, like, you know, even the Dalai Lama, he said it will be the Western women that will make the changes in society. Yeah.
Wow.
Because when we start owning ourselves and saying no, and I'm going to listen to my feelings and my intuition first.
Yeah.
They're going to, you know, the little boys that are running around in men's clothes are going to start going, oh, shit, we need to change, you know. We need to start moving back into respect, moving back into listening and allowing them.
And valuing our abilities too.
Yeah.
Like, because I've seen that is the not, it's like this spectrum that kind of comes out that they'll value to a point, but they're not valuing the whole feminine aspect, like what the whole feminine actually can and the abilities that they all have through our emotions and that kind of stuff. That it's like, oh, I'll love you until you do this, but anything outside of that, then yeah. It means I'm going to go and find another beautiful woman on an app.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, wow, so there's conditions. Like, you're really putting me in a, like, and I do believe it is like you said, women waking up to this.
Yeah.
And to realizing, no, that we don't have to tolerate these kinds of behaviors. And to, once we learn to respect ourselves and love ourselves, and then I can have those boundaries of like, sorry, but I'm just not going to accept that behavior because I know that I deserve to be treated with this level of respect.
And I will say, there are men out there. There are men out there that are beautiful, honorable, respectful.
I'm like, yeah, where are they?
I know. Well, you know, I really didn't think. I was 50 years old when I met Tim at the beach.
Aww.
And I really didn't think that, like, there was part of me, even though I was creating, there was one part that was like, yes, there is someone out there for me and I'm going to meet him. And there was another part that would, you know, that's the doubt and the fear and the, you know, unconscious that say, there's none left, they've all been taken, I'm too old, blah, 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 blah. You know?
Yeah, I've
none
had
in
those,
my area.
I feel that. I've had those stories as well where I'm just like, oh, maybe I'm just going to be that. It's just me and my dog for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I'm really not that. Maybe I'm not that. Like,
can you imagine
for a committed relationship? And
yep.
Maybe I'm just going to be a tantric celibate master for the rest of my life.
Can you imagine what it was like for me when I moved from Far North Queensland and lived with my mum?
Yeah,
oh my gosh, has it turned to this? I'm the spinster that's looking after her mother. It was
so
it was challenging.
Sexy.
Yeah, I know.
So sexy, babe. I so want to hit on you.
It was one of those moments for sure. But, you know, then you go back into this space of what is it that I'm creating, you know, because that's when you go back into your magic, back into your power.
Yes.
And, you know, what am I creating? And you hold the vision.
Oh, yeah. That's so challenging, isn't it, to do every day, to really be in that and to not get so caught up in all of those other external thoughts that could go on.
Well, yeah. I've got a free resource actually for your audience.
Yes.
So
please.
I'll send you the link. It's actually called The Love Code.
Yes.
And
even I'm going to do this. I'm so excited.
So it's basically, you know, a little mini visualization that you can do to really connect in with that vision of it. Yeah, once a day.
Yeah.
So that you've got that, you know, holding that focus. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to put it up on my mirror and like stick it up there.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Awesome. Thank you so much. I did have another question, but it's gone now. But I do want to just leave the ladies with one final question that I do ask everybody who comes on, and it's, what do you think every woman needs to know right now about love or about themselves? So what do you think, there's one like piece of wisdom that you can leave women with today?
That they do deserve love.
Mm.
Everyone deserves love, and that they're not outside of that. That actually their interpretation of love is exactly what is right for them. And that you just hold on to that, and you will magnetically attract the partner that is there for you that has the same frequency, because it's actually. It's based in science. It's based in quantum mechanics. It's based in, you know, the laws of attraction. It's based in all of the different theories and, you know, methods out there. Is that whatever you attract, whatever you experience for yourself is what you'll attract. And so
believe
in your own love.
And Is that like for us women too? Because from what I see, it's like what we give ourselves is what we're attracting. So like I was saying before, these women who are like, oh, I want a man with a six pack, and I like, he needs to have this, and this. And it's like, hold on, but you don't even go to the gym. Like, how are you going to attract somebody into your life if you're not doing the same things for yourself?
Well, it's not, you know, really, I mean? Yeah, but it's not really physical. If that woman that's overweight, or, you know, like is bigger than average, right? Mm. If she is someone that absolutely loves herself that way, right? Yeah. And there are women like that, then yeah, she will attract a man that's actually the same, loves himself, very respectful. Yeah, I've actually seen. In fact, there's one in my area, a guy that is buff, goes to the gym all the time, really like ripped the whole thing. And his woman is voluptuous, you know, big boobs. That. Yeah, yeah. And you can see the love between them, you know. You just think of way back, you know, the warriors that were out there, you know, fighting battles.
Maybe it's the aggressive behavior that I've seen online where you know, like you said, the women in the masculine energy of like, no, this is what I deserve. And it's like, actually, that's not coming from your femininity of like, I love myself.
Yeah.
It's coming from, I deserve this because I have this. It's not actually a genuine love for self.
Yeah, it's not looking deep within. Yeah.
Yeah. Do absolutely. You think like, yeah, maybe that's like the perception that I'm getting from the social media aspects of the things that I've watched of like, wow, like your expectations right up there and you're really aggressive about it. And it's just like, but I think it doesn't feel like it's coming from a place of love. I love myself. It comes from a place of, no, I deserve this. And it's yes, you do deserve that, but it's like a very aggressive approach that's actually probably repelling all of those men from
you. Yeah. Sometimes that's a defense mechanism, right? It's defending so that the, you know, I've met a lot of women that have that aggressive energy, but it's actually because they're very hurt within.
Yes, yeah. I've seen that too with the feminist like movement and the feminism like feminists who I worked with a lot of women, and they it all came from their pain, from a level of like, I can't trust men, they're no good, like all of that. So then they project this, I'm just a feminist and I hate men, and I deserve to have this. And it's like, wow, like actually you do deserve to have that, but you need to work on those other things
first,
like, you know, first of loving yourself and giving yourself that.
And won't it be a beautiful world when everyone starts feeling safe enough to feel vulnerable and transparent and allow themselves to let go of the trauma and the wounds and the things that are holding them back from just expressing their own way of being, you know? It's going to be a beautiful place, and that's what I'm envisioning, you know? This world. Aww. Where,
well, I'll be there with you right next to envisioning that too. I'm down for that. I'm down for love and connection and intimacy and sexuality and really just devotion.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
And oneness.
Yes.
And humility and all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful harmony place. Too. Yes.
Yeah. What a beautiful place. Oh, well, Elizabeth, thank you so much. I'm so grateful to have you on here, and I'm so grateful for everyone who's listening and for Elizabeth to share her journey and her wisdom and her knowledge and her opinion and viewpoints. It's just you're such a beautiful energy, and I can feel it.
Oh, and just thank you. It's been
such
a pleasure.
A beautiful, I just love the way that you're able to explain things. It's really wholesome is the word that I want to say. Yes, it's very wholesome.
Oh, thank you for that.
Yeah, you're most welcome. It's my absolute pleasure. And it's also I'm just so grateful to have you on here with us.
Yeah, it's been fun. I've enjoyed the conversation.
Me too. Thank you so much, and I hope you have a lovely day. I will put all of your details below the podcast so everybody can connect with you, and if they want to work on like all these limiting stories, I'm so excited about it for you. And also I think I might have a look at some of your stuff.
It's all on my website. Yeah,
love it. Sounds fantastic. Well, have a lovely day, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Sisterhood podcast. For more great resources, in-person and online workshops, find us at alphayoni.com, Instagram, The Goddess of Love, and Facebook under Shani Lee. See you next time.